I want to take my text from this morning. I've got several scriptures I'm going to try to share this morning. This is just something that God began to pull on my heart about, because, and it's already, God has already begun to cover his message this morning. God's already prepared, amen, the table. Oh, Sister Lindsay, that's awesome. The table is already being prepared, and it's already been prepared, but the Spirit of God has just been revealing to us what's on the table this morning through the course of this service, through your time when you were in Sunday school, and the time of the children sharing their scripture and singing that song, and the time of worship. The Spirit of God has just been revealing what's on the table. Praise God. Are you getting hungry yet? Are you getting thirsty yet? Hallelujah. Or did you already fill up on something else before you came today? You already fill up on something last night, and now you're so full of that, you just can't really get your mind on God. Well, Sister Lindsay, you shared wonderful. I mean, that's how the enemy works. He comes against our mind, trying to discourage us, trying to make us in despair and disheartened and wonder what's the use. But then you step into the presence of a holy God, and you know it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Hallelujah. Psalm 99. I've got you standing here, so I'll go ahead and read this portion of Scripture. It says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims, and let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou doest establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances that he gave them. Thou answeredest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their invention. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for the opening reading of God's word this morning. As I've said already, I've got several scriptures I want to share with us. I want to build us the big picture this morning. That's just the title of this message, the big picture. I want to reveal the big picture this morning to you and I, to encourage our hearts and strengthen our souls and get us back on track of what God's doing in these last days. Hallelujah. There are a lot of things coming upon America right now that are very overwhelming to humanity, very overwhelming to the human side of our lives. But praise God, we have more than just a human side as a child of God. We've got a spiritual man that's been created inside of us, and there is a spiritual side of us that must overcome the natural side of us, lest we be overwhelmed and fall by the wayside. It's already been shared, it's already been testified about. That's how it's happening. When you see the sickness, when you see the things going on, when you see how things are being manipulated and how things are turning towards a way in America that we just know is not quite right, because it's not God's way, and it begins to work on our humanity. It begins to work on our minds. It begins to work on our soul. And that, in turn, sometimes begins to work on our bodies. Woo. But I'm glad God is very well capable to take care of spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want us to look at the big picture this morning. I want us to get a brand new, number one, I want us to get a brand new perspective on God. A brand new perspective on God. If we're believers in God, we know God is real. If we're born again by the Spirit of God, we know Christ is real. Christ is our Savior. If we're baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, then we know that God is moving on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. We've got that spiritual concept. But I want to get a new perspective of God, of who He is, where He is, and how holy He is. Amen. Let the people tremble. Do you tremble at God's word? Do you tremble at the message of God? Does the message of God stir you and distress you to the point it moves you to change? Or do you look at God and say, oh, God loves me and He doesn't care how I live or what I do and He's always been good to me and, you know, God's just that man upstairs. You need to get a new perspective on God. God is the one that's going to judge you. And He's going to judge you according to your works. He's going to judge you according to your attitudes. He's going to judge you according to the desires of your heart. And so we need to get a new perspective on God this morning, that He is sitting in between the cherubims. He is high and He is holy. He is far above what you and I can think or even imagine. Hallelujah. And we've got to put God in that place in our lives where whatever He desires in our life, that's what we desire too. Hallelujah. We cannot go through the Christian life choosing and thinking there's options. God's plan of salvation's been forever settled in heaven. It hasn't changed in 2022. It is still the same. Why? Because God is still the same. God is holy. God never changes. He's pure. He's righteous. Hallelujah. He's just. And He will judge all unrighteousness. Even if we try to throw it under a cloak of Christianity. Woo. Think about that for a moment. Because the majority of Christians, and maybe even some of you sitting here this morning, don't even think God would ever judge you. Because He's always been good to you. But then if you start taking for granted that goodness, and you start just living your life the way you want to live it, my friend, judgment's around the corner. Now, sometimes we don't understand what judgment is. We think judgment, we lose our life. Did Adam and Eve lose their life when they sinned in the garden? No, but they lost something very precious, didn't they? They lost something very holy. They lost their spiritual relationship with God. How's your relationship with God today? He was in this house. He's in this house. And He's moving right now. Are you hearing Him? Are you sensing Him? Are you paying attention to Him? Because if you're not, then judgment's coming your way. What is judgment? Judgment is whatever it takes for God to do in your life to wake you up, open your blinded eyes, and help you see the miserable condition of your soul. That's tight. That's rough. But what is your perspective on God today? Is God looking at you and just accepting everything you're doing and how you're living? Just because you believe in Jesus Christ? Sin was never accepted in the early church at all. Have we forgotten about Ananias and Sapphira? Saved, believed in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, and generated a scheme to get prestige and honor and pomp, to look like they were something, when actually they were full of sin. Whoa, and God took their lives right there that day. I think we forgot about that. We're living in such an hour where grace has so been expanded and extended and so bent out of shape. We don't understand God hates sin because God's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. He's the judge. We got to get a right perspective on God. God is the one that is going to judge our lives. God is the one that's going to say we can enter in or depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Remember what we shared Thursday night about that character in Pilgrim's Progress called ignorance. He thought he had it made, thought everything was going to be fine, and he woke up in hell instead of entering in to the gates of the city. Why? Because he didn't have the right perspective on God. He didn't realize God was a holy God, God was a just God, and God said, this is the way that it is. Follow, and ye shall have life. The right perspective on God. He is the final judge. He is the final one that's going to tell me and let me know if I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. But if I can't hear him, if I don't know him, if I don't listen to him, how's he going to let me know? Judgment will come. Eye-opening experiences. You know what an eye-opening experience is, don't you? Simple illustration. Eye-opening experience. You're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you hear this noise, and you feel these bumps, and you open your eyes, and you're driving in the road ditch. That's an eye-opening experience. From that point forward, you're wide awake. You're wide awake. Woo! Yeah, I've been there. I've done it. I know a lot of you have done it too, praise God. But I've been there. I've been that. You wake up and whoa. Thank you, Jesus. And from that point forward, you're wide awake. Couldn't go to sleep if you wanted to. That's an eye-opening experience. Sometimes God brings eye-opening experiences across our life. Sometimes it's just those moments when it could have been death. And we start pondering, am I heart right? Am I right with God? Am I living like I'm supposed to be living? And I start meditating, and I start thinking, and I start putting God back in the proper perspective of my life, that I am a follower of God, not a leader of God. I am a follower of God, not a sponge from God. I am a servant of the Lord. I wasn't saved so he could serve me. Getting the right perspective on God will help us tremendously, amen, to get the right perspective on the world. Jeremiah 5:22, fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. I'm talking about God, the one who set the sea where it belongs, and it has to stay there. The one that put the sun where it belongs, and it has to stay there. The one that created all things, and they were created for his pleasure. And the one that created you and I, that you and I are accountable to. Hallelujah. See, God's not going to be moved. God's not going to be changed. His word's forever settled in heaven. God is immutable. He'll always be God, and he'll always be the same. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can follow him. That's why we can put our lives in his hands, and he will take our lives and make greatness out of them. Hallelujah, because he's God. Hallelujah, he's the one that put it all in order. He's the one that generated the plan of salvation. He's the one, hallelujah, that predestinated that you and I, through Jesus Christ, could have a transformed life, a newness of life, a new creature created inside of us. This is the God we're talking about. I want to get the big picture going on, because sometimes we lose track of God is still on his throne, and he is still ruling all of eternity, hallelujah. And we are a created being that he has created, and he's created us for fellowship with him and worship of him and serving of him and honor of him. He hasn't created us to live after the flesh. He's created us to live after the Spirit of God in these last days. But everything that's going on in this world around us is trying to press us to live after the flesh. Daniel chapter 2 verse number 20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge unto them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things, He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. The light dwelleth with him. He knows what's in the darkness. He knows what we do in the dark. He knows what's in the darkness. But light dwells with him. Hallelujah. You and I are children of the light, and we dwell with him in the high and holy places. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise, getting God, that perspective on God. Hallelujah. The reality that God sets kings up. God takes kings down. God sets the times. God sets the seasons. Everything is according to God's timetable. God's got a plan. He's got a big picture. A big picture. Sometimes we get tunnel vision. Sometimes we just get focused on small things. Sometimes we get overthrown by small temptations and things of meagerly and beggarly things of this world. Why does that happen? Why can that be? Because we've lost the big picture of God. We've lost the plan of God's salvation. We've lost what God wants to do with our lives and how he wants to work in our life. We've lost sight of an almighty God, and we are satisfied with a little bit of the world's view of Jesus. Instead of the Bible's view of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That triune God, hallelujah, that's holy. We got to get that new perspective on God, and then we got to get a perspective on the world. Continuing in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 37, it says, Thou, O King, art a King of kings, not the King of kings, but a King of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest kings. Actually was the mightiest king the world ever knew, because he conquered the whole world and was over the whole world of that day and that hour. Verse 38, And wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thy hand. The reality that God gave it into his hand. And hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. In other words, Daniel's given the interpretation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the statue. And he's giving him the understanding of it. Verse 39, And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so this kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And this is the verse I'm after. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. All the way back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, God revealed to this great king all the kingdoms of the world, all the things that would transpire after his kingdom, and how it was all going to end, and that there was going to be a kingdom set up that would stand forever. We got to understand this old world's going to fall. This old world doesn't really have any power of its own. This old world is rapidly running right into the very last days that God has planned for this hour you and I are living in. This world is about to experience the wrath of an almighty God. This world has come now full swing from where the gospel began over there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, as a church began to go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost, all the way full circle around this globe, and then some more. Hallelujah. God in His grace, God in His mercy, not willing that any should perish, but all come to that saving knowledge and that surrender to Jesus Christ, is still moving and dealing in the hearts of men and women, because there is an appointed time of God when it's going to stop, the trumpet's going to sound, the church is going to be taken out, and the world is going to fall under the wrath of God. And it's soon. It's soon. We're seeing that 10-toe thing going on. Globalism. One world government. Everybody joining together. It's going on right now. We have got global communication going on. Everything you hear about in the news anymore is global. Where it's going on, how it's happening. I mean, all you have to do is open up a news channel. You can get the Jerusalem Post. You can get any newspaper across the face of this earth that puts one on the World Wide Web. Don't call it that much anymore. You know, webs are sticky, aren't they? Yeah, webs are something the spiders use to capture their prey and devour it. Be careful about the World Wide Web, lest you be devoured by the enemy. Hallelujah. Oh my. Well, what do we use it for, Brother Pepper? Well, we use it for Facebook Live to preach the gospel to the Lord, to the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we use the World Wide Web for. Amen. Hey, what we're saying this morning, what we're preaching this morning, could go all around the world. Anybody that's got one of them cell phones, and almost everybody has one. Well, I could stop here and preach all day. Be careful about the web, because it can be very, very evil. Unless you're using it for your promoting of the gospel, then you better be careful of how it's using you. Yeah. The right perspective on the world is your enemy. The world is not your friend. The world is your enemy, and the world wants to pull you away from your friend, because your friend is Jesus Christ, the mediator, the propitiation for our sins, the savior of our lives. The world wants to pull you away from your friend and make you think it's your friend. It's not. It's your enemy. And what does the Bible say the enemy has come to do? To kill, to steal, to destroy. Be careful. Get the right perspective on the world. We're in this world, the Bible declares, but we are not of this world. We're of the spiritual kingdom of an almighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That God that sits on His throne in between the cherubims is holy and is righteous, and has loved us so much that He sent His Son to die in our place, that through Jesus Christ and His precious blood, that we could have forgiveness of our sins, and then a brand new life living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You got to have the right perspectives on God. Here's Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The world's going to try to deceive you. Jesus let His disciples know they're going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to pull wool over your eyes. They're going to try to convince you that being holy is not necessary. They're going to try to convince you that living a sanctified life is not necessary. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For many years, people thought that was a false Christ. Upon further viewing and further study, what He's saying is many is going to come and say Jesus is the Christ and still deceive people. All you got to do is go read the New Testament, and you find the epistles were written because people were coming as Christians and deceiving many and spreading lies and error in the name of Jesus. So that was happening already then. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. In other words, trouble is going to be all around us. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, that's COVID, earthquakes in divers places. That's famines in divers places, pestilence in divers places, earthquakes in divers places. It's not just earthquakes. It's all of it. And it's happening right now on a global scale. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Church, it's time to wake up. I think somebody preached that here not too long ago. Woo! Brother Rocky Millsap preached that. You think, why would he preach that in our church? Because we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We're not paying a bit of attention to what God's trying to tell us half the time. We're not church. We're not church. And as your pastor, whether you realize it or not, I see that. I perceive that. I understand that. Because it's my position that I should. And if I don't, then I'm sunk. Amen? Then you're sunk. If I'm sunk, you're sunk, we're all sunk. So you need to be praying for your pastor that he's treading water and walking on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because just as you fight the enemy, who do you think the enemy goes for first? Well, what's always the strategy of a battle plan? Take out the leader. Then they will become divided. And you divide and conquer. I hope you're praying for your pastor. Hallelujah. You're just not saying bad things about him. Praise God. I hope you're praying for him. If I offend you, I'm sorry, but praise God. Well, you'll have to forgive me. I was just taught, I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm not here to just make you feel good. I'm here to share God's word and the message he's burned into my heart. Hallelujah. In hopes and in prayer that he'll burn it into yours, I've got to get the right perspective, fresh and anew. 2022, brand new year, already 16 days into it. I need to have the right perspective so I can live my life this year better than I lived it last year. Ooh, praise our God. Hallelujah. So now we're moving on. We got the pestilence, the earthquakes, the famines, and these are all the beginning of sorrows. Then he says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You understand that you and I are falling rapidly under a category called hate crime because we believe the Bible. And we believe in morals, and we believe in standards, and we believe that evil is sin, and evil is always going to be sin, and it's not right for man to be with man and woman to be with woman. That's evil. It's sin. It's ungodliness. And so I just committed a hate crime according to the world. And I just preached the truth according to God. So who are you going to serve? The world or God? See, that's where we're at. And that's what it's coming to. Amen. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Oh, wow. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? That means they've lost their perspective on the world. They lost their perspective on God. And my next point, they've lost their perspective on the bride, on the church. They've allowed everything going on around them to overwhelm them, overcome them, to the point of what's the use, and they go right back into iniquity. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You realize that this very morning we are fulfilling that scripture via Facebook Live. As I've already mentioned, anybody anywhere across this world where that is generated on that web can hear what I'm preaching this morning. The gospel is available all around the world. And where that web does not go, you can rest assured God's got a missionary planted right there. Praise God. That's why we support missions. We're going to take up a missions offering here after service. Praise God. That's what that's for. Because that gospel needs to go to every nation, because Jesus is about to return and time is running out. Hallelujah. We got to get the right perspective on a holy God and realize and fear and tremble in the sense that He is the one I am accountable to, and He is the one that will say, enter in or depart from me. He's the final judge. Hallelujah. I've got to get the right perspective on the world, that it is my enemy and it is doing everything it can to take me away from the one who loves me the most. And the right perspective of the bride, the church. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you catch that? The Holy Ghost is after none other thing than the will of a holy God for your life, for mine. That's what He's after. His movings, His speakings, His dealings, how He operates, the detours, woo, the things that come our way to open our eyes, that's the Holy Ghost trying to work the will of God in our lives, even when we don't pay a bit of attention to what He's saying. He's still interceding. He's still moving. He'll still work. Hallelujah. That's why even if you're backslid, the Holy Ghost is still going to move on your soul. He's still going to talk to your mind. He's still going to let you know that God is real and Christ loves you, but you still got to make the choice. You still got to move with the Spirit of God. You still got to be obedient to God. And so we see then the Spirit of God is building the church, building the bride. And he goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Holy Ghost is always working out the purpose of God for your life, even if it takes all 70 years of it. Hello. I was just driving to church this morning, driving down the road, thinking about God's already putting this on my heart, and I'm thinking about I've been saved for 38 years, and God, I still ain't got everything the way it ought to be. That's a long time, 38 years, and still don't have it the way it all ought to be. Oh, how about you? You perfect? You got your flesh all totally under control and never have a bit of problem with it? Or do you have more problem with the flesh than you have moved with the Spirit? Have you come to the house of God this morning to crucify your flesh? Or just say, I was there? Because that's what I come to the house of God for, because I want this old man to die. And I know if he's going to die, then I'm going to have to hear from this word. I'm going to have to be touched by the Spirit of God. I'm going to have the right perspective on God, the right perspective on the world, and the right perspective on the church and what God wants from the church. Praise our God. Ooh, hallelujah. And so we see then all things work together for good that love God. So that means even the small calamities, the troubles, the things we don't understand, it's all about the big picture that we lose sight of so rapidly. And if we've got tunnel vision, then it's some of these calamities and troubles that really pull us down. But we've got to start looking up. Lift up our heads, looking unto the author, the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, and get a brand new perspective on the big picture of what God's wanting to do in these last days. Hallelujah. We've got to realize that we've got to focus in on not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We've got to focus in on walking in the Spirit of God, doing what we do as the Spirit of God leads us, so that the will of God can be accomplished, and thus we don't have to waste a lot of energy if we know we're doing exactly what God wants done. Because we as human beings have this terrible tendency, we try 500 different things before we say, all right, Lord, what do you want done? And if we just would have asked that to begin with, we could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble, a lot of time, and the power of God would have moved a whole lot quicker. But us human beings, that's us. And so we try all kinds of things instead of just getting on our face and say, God, what do you want done? And then do what he says to do and see the results come faster. Ooh, praise our God. And so we see then all things are going to work to good because it's all according to his plan, his purpose, his purpose. Amen. Get in the big picture. God's got a plan for your life. You don't know what it is yet, except up to this point in time. But do you realize there's more to your life than today? If God so wills. Amen. He's brought me to this point, 61 years old, 38 years saved, washed in the blood, 35 years filled with the Holy Ghost. He's brought me to this point, but he ain't done. That's why I got to make sure I keep the right perspective so God's will can be done in my life at 61, just like it was done at 23. Praise our God. Help me, Lord. I don't know, maybe this is just for me because it's helping me tremendously and it's just really making me uncomfortable because I realize I got a lot to do. I've got a lot to do. There's so much more to be done for the kingdom of God just inside of me. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. I got to move on here this morning. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything's going to work for our good according to his purpose. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And because he didn't even spare his own son, we got to realize, we got to have faith, we got to have confidence, he's going to take us through also, because he has a purpose and a plan for you and I. Amen. No matter how old they are. He's got a purpose and a plan for Jansen, for Allen, for London, for Arian, for Addison, for Weston, for everybody in this house. He's got a plan for your life, but the most important part is that you've got to know him. And you've got to have that fellowship with him and that relationship with him, so he can start working that plan out in his purpose and not yours. That's the hardest thing, once again, for human beings to do, is wait on God and not try to do everything they think God might like. They're not just wait on God and then do what he asks you to do. That's why I ask these young people after a move of the Holy Ghost, okay, what God tell you? What God speak to you? Now, if he's speaking to you the same thing over and over and over again every time he moves, I'll just give you a little insight, being 61 years old, being saved 38 years, being a pastor for 20-some years, you're not doing it yet. And if you wonder why Brother Pepper may preach the same message several different times with a different title, I'll give you a little insight of my wisdom. 61 years old, saved 38 years, pastor 20-some years. You ain't got it yet. You ain't doing it yet. You haven't assimilated that truth yet. And you're still wrestling with it, and the devil's still defeating you in that area because you haven't stepped up and decided you're going to follow Jesus. That's why it still comes your way. That's why the messages are still preached. That's because we haven't got it yet. When we get it, the message will change and move on to the next step. Praise God. Because you can't go up the ladder. How many has ever tried to go up a ladder missing a step? It can be done. You pay for it later.
So you're not going to grow in God trying to miss steps. You're not going to go from the bottom rung of the ladder to the very top of the ladder in one step.
You've got to move with God as He begins to show you the next step. And you need to step forward in allegiance and say, "Yes, God. Yes, Lord. I will do everything within my power, my strength, my wisdom, my mind to accomplish what you just told me I need to do." There's the hard part. Easy part's hearing from heaven. The hard part is having the passion, the plan, and the purpose to get it done. You see, you're going to have the passion to do it. You got to want to do it more than life itself. And then you're going to have the plan. It's not just going to happen out of thin air. You know, bottom line, God spoke to you. Here's an example. God spoke to you. Start reading your Bible more. You got to have a passion for that word. You got to have a passion for that. In other words, that means that is the number one thing you're going to do every day you wake up is have a passion. I got to get in the word. I got to get in. Now you got to have a plan. Now you got to have a plan. So now you need to take a piece of paper. The thing a lot of my students don't even like to pick up. A piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and start formulating your plan of when you're going to read that word. When you're going to get in that word. Write it down on a piece of paper. Put it on your refrigerator. I say that a lot. I just know it's effective. If you want, send me a text. And say, "Brother Pepper, would you text me or call me at this time and make sure I'm reading God's word?" I will do it. I will do it. Because you've got to have a plan. And then you've got to have purpose of heart to follow that plan, consistently committed to it. Because if you can't commit to that plan, you are not committed to Jesus Christ. Whew. We've got to face the facts here. We've just been shoving it all under the bed. We've been shoving it all under the rug, and we're just not facing the facts. We lack passion, we lack plans, and we lack purpose. That's why God preached it to us. Hallelujah. That just got a hold of my heart and a hold of my soul. We got to have it. It's not an option. Whew. I mean, we got to understand that we're not going to fall into heaven. That's what that message was all about. Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So in other words, the only way and the only thing keeping you from the power of God and victorious living is your desire. It ain't the devil's fault. It ain't the world's fault. It's nobody's fault but your own. Because there's nothing that will keep you from the love of God except your foolish choices. That's what will keep you from the love of God. Nothing from the outer influence is the culprit. It's not the World Wide Web. It's not media. It's you. Because of where you want to go on the World Wide Web, of where you want to go on the media, what you want, what you desire. Because if we desire God, there ain't nothing that can keep us from Him. Ooh, hallelujah, did you grab a hold of that? If we desire God, there is not one thing that can keep us from Him. You see, that's why God moved so wonderfully and magnificently in my heart and in my life when I was 23 years old. Because down deep inside of me, I had a desire for God. I had a desire for God, and God saw that desire, and He began to move mountains, so to speak, and work so many different ways to get me to the place where I could find what I needed to fulfill that desire. And it wasn't nothing I thought I needed. But it was His plan and His purpose for my life. Wow. Praise God. And here we are 38 years later in Calvary Lighthouse Church. And look what God has done. Look what God has done. And it all started 61 years ago when I was born into this world. When I was born into this world, there was a plan for that child that came into this world. And I'm standing here today, and I know 100% I'm right where I need to be. And I am doing the will of God. He has revealed to me, and He just revealed some things this morning that now I'm going to have to get a passion for, a plan for, and a purpose. So it'll be happening. It'll work. It'll go. But I know that I am doing the will of God for my life. And there is no greater joy on the whole face of this earth than to know you're right in the middle of God's will for your life. Because there's no more miserable place on the face of this earth than not being doing the will of God for your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. I got to move on. I've got to move on. Preaching way too long for a Sunday morning, but it's just burning in my heart, church. Hallelujah. And nobody can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God, except our own desires. Matthew 10, 29 and 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are more value than many sparrows. Take comfort, my child. God loves you. God loves you. And you are far more important than the sparrows are, and He knows every one of them. He knows the very hairs of your head. Hallelujah. And He loves you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Amen. But He may have to do a few things to awake you. Praise God. That woke some up. To awake you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. I've got to get the right perspective on God, who He is. He's the authority of my life. He is who I am accountable to. Hallelujah. And I got to get a right perspective on the world. The world is my enemy, does not love me, it hates me, and it wants to destroy me and pull me away from the very God that loves me more than anybody. Amen. And I got to get the right perspective on being part of the church. It's not a free ride. It's intentional. And I have become a follower of Christ. And I have actually preached or made the statement, serious servants of God. Sister Lindsay was talking the other night. She says, you need to start a school of ministry. I just listened. First thought on school of ministry. That's a lot of work. Sitting in my office this morning. The Spirit of the Lord just began to move in my heart. You need to do that. Because we got a lot of church folks that are not serious servants of God. They don't even know what it is to be a servant of God. They know God's real. They know they're washed in the blood. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. But they haven't got an idea what it is to be a serious servant of God. the Lord's willing, I started to say, if the Lord willing, I'm going to start a series on serious servants. And I'm going to call it the Serious Servant School. The School of Ministry. I'll just give you a little insight here because we're getting the big picture. Ministry is not standing behind this pulpit. That's only one phase of ministry. Because your first thought when I say ministry, that's probably what you think of. Doing something on this platform. A little insight. The Bible says we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. It is our duty, our job, to let others know that they can be reconciled with God. Are you fulfilling that ministry? Because it's your ministry. It doesn't make any difference who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, He's given you that ministry. To take what He's given to you and share it with others on a personal plane. That's the ministry of reconciliation in all of us. So there are some things that need to transpire in our lives so we can effectively minister reconciliation. Could someone come back to the piano? The big picture. God's still in control, church. Sometimes there's things that transpire that we just really can't wrap our minds around and we don't fully understand. But there's one thing we must understand. God is in control. God is sovereign. You know, saints of God that go on home, that's really not a tragedy in the sense. But it works on our humanity. It works on our humanity. But then as we allow the Spirit of God and the spiritual man to strengthen us, then we can make it past our humanity and begin to rejoice for those that have gone on. Because they don't got to face what we're going to face. And they don't have to fight the fight that we're going to fight soon. But you and I are here. And so the purpose of God is that you're here. And you are here this morning because of the purpose of God. Because God has great things in store for your life. As you and I continue to understand there's a big picture. There's things that are happening in this world that are not going to be good for believers. But God is always good to His believers. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Father in heaven, I praise Your holy name. I thank You, Lord God, for Your love, Your power, and Your presence in this house this morning. God, I thank You, Lord God, for giving me a brand new perspective, Lord, on the big picture. For stirring my heart, stirring my soul. Lord, it's time to rise. It's time to run the race. It's time to fight the fight. Lord, it's time to do, Lord God, whatever You want us to do so You can fulfill Your plan, Your purpose. Father in heaven, I pray touch Your people here this morning by Your Spirit, by Your Word, by this message. Lord, stir us, impress us, that we will draw nigh to You and we will hear from heaven. On a personal plane. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. Just lift your hands, church, and give Him praise.